Welcome to Refined and Refreshed Talks. This is the face of the person who's been on the podcast for the past several months, Ralph Monroe. You see it now. And so something we wanted to do was have chats with individuals once a month. And what better way to start it than now, since we're on lockdown? This will coincide with our weekly podcast that we do, with the hope for us to continue to focus and always share of how we can respond to situations in our life, to crises in our life, and we always go through the Word and apply God's Word to our lives. And with that, this first inaugural guest of Refined and Refreshed Talks is Pastor Brian. And so we're just going to get into it and just chat, and I pray that you guys will be blessed by this. So with that, Pastor Brian, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
No problem. So real quick, just tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Brian. My wife and I, Beth and I, we've been married, gosh, well, now you're putting me on the spot, about 29 years. We dated in high school. We have two sons that are grown, age 26, 24. And we live on the north side. And so basically we came to Chicago in 2010 as church planters. And we're the kind that basically we both work full time and try to do the church thing as best we can with our full-time jobs. And so she's a teacher, and then I'm a bus manager for a school bus company. And we started Church in the Loop about 7 years ago, and we're just honored to serve the city in that way. So that's kind of the short version.
Awesomeness. Real quick. So being working like full-time and then also being like a church planner and being a pastor of a church, how do you just kind of balance those two, or try to navigate and balance the two?
I'm still trying to figure that out. So it's hard. Yeah. It's never easy trying to, because ministry is never part-time. People are not part-time. People are full-time investments, mm-hmm. and they should be. So it's always a battle to try to do that. And then obviously I have a job, and my job is as the manager of a bus company. We have about 100 school buses. We drive 14,000 miles a week, and I am literally accountable for every mile we drive. Wow. So if something goes wrong, I'm the one that has to answer to my boss mm-hmm. about what happened or what didn't happen or what should have happened. So it's usually about a 50-hour week job on average, and about 150 employees. So it's incredibly difficult to manage that. And all I can say is God's grace. Cause I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm doing that, I'm on assignment. Amen. And I'm really trying to do it the best of my ability and for God's glory. But it's hard because as a manager, you have to sometimes, have some hard conversations with people, and, you have to keep the business moving forward. And sometimes that's a difficult balance when you're trying to, think as a pastor at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Yeah.
Well, amen to that, man.
Yeah.
So real quick, during this lockdown, everyone's moved to online, to the best of their ability, especially churches. And so with that, I was listening to your message online. The title is called "Where is the Toilet Paper?" which I thought was very creative and awesomeness.
I'm still looking for it. So if you know someone, let me know. I can't find any.
It is hilarious.
I had to go to Home Depot and buy sandpaper.
That's terrible.
No, I'm just...
No, you're good. You're good. So can you give us a high level view or kind of just put into words what that message was about? Because when you hear "where's the toilet paper," I'm like, is that a message about the toilet paper? What are you talking about? So can you just summarize what that was? What is it about?
Well, basically, we looked at the passage in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 2, where, you know, Jesus takes Peter, John, and James, and he takes them up to this mountain, and he has this incredible transfiguration, and all of a sudden, standing with Jesus in his glory is Moses and Elijah. And the three disciples that went, they're just like, whoa. And so Jesus talks about, then he does that, but then he talks about how he suffers and he's going to suffer and rise again. And so I for me, when I look at that passage, I really see a suffering and glory where basically we know as Christians we're called to share in Christ's glory. We know we have a glorious future. No matter what happens on earth, no matter how bad it gets, we've got a glorious future awaiting us. But we sometimes forget or purposely try not to remember that suffering here usually precedes glory there. Mm-hmm. Obviously there won't be suffering on the other side, but we do have suffering here, and it's not a bad thing. I think that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, is we've got to rethink our attitude about suffering. We don't know how to suffer well. And I say that we, as Christians in the West, especially America, you know, we spend more on pain meds than any other country in the world. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to suffer. We don't like pain. I don't like going to the dentist, you know. but we know we need it sometimes. And so I think it's a passage that really speaks to the beauty of the silent beauty of suffering that plants the seeds for glory.
There were some points that you gave that really stood out to me. And the first point, I believe it was, all suffering serves a purpose. I mean, when I heard that, I was like, man, yeah, that's so true. And it doesn't feel like it at the
right.
It doesn't feel right. like it at the moment. So two things. Can you go into a little bit about that? And also, how does toilet paper coincide with this?
Yeah. Well, I always struggle with coming up with a title for a sermon. I really struggle. And I thought, well, how are we suffering today? Well, the reason people are buying toilet paper is because they don't want to suffer. I mean, there's no need to make a run on it right now. But yet I took a picture of my phone the other day. I was at the grocery store and that aisle is empty, you know, and it's, why? And it's because people, you know, they don't want discomfort. I get it. We don't want discomfort. And honestly, I don't mean to be crude or anything, but that is a modern thing that we all use, and we don't want the discomfort of living without it. So people are hoarding it. And the reason we don't want the discomfort again is because we are trigger wired, or however you want to say it, we're wired for self-preservation. And because of that, anything that's a threat to our self-preservation and or comfort is something that we immediately will act upon. And I think the toilet paper is it's like an x-ray of the psyche of America right now, that gosh, you guys are going through this hard time, and what's the first thing that you sell out of? You know, you don't sell out of the granola bars or, you know, the other thing, you know, even there's lots of canned soup, but you sell out of something that is so temporary. And isn't that really how we live our lives? We focus on the temporary stuff more than we do the eternal, more than on what's nourishing for our souls. I struggle with that. And yet that's the first thing people buy. And we're doing it every day. The truth of the matter is we're all making a run for toilet paper. And I put toilet paper in quotes every day when we're choosing to follow our own way instead of God's.
Amen.
I mean, I'm preaching at me right now. Okay.
Hey, no, so this is good. It's good. It's really
Yeah. So getting back to your question though, about this first point, all suffering serves a purpose, is if you can from suffering, you don't have to be afraid of it because God's going to use it in a special way, then you're not acting out of fear in your life, and you're not making hasty decisions of self-preservation as your goal, but instead you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you're focused on self-preservation because you don't want to suffer, love your neighbor goes right out the window.
Yeah.
And so I think that first point that I was seeing in this text was, you know, when Jesus talks about, and he goes back to chapter 8, verse 31, he talks about the sufferings that he's going to have. So, it forms this hamburger in the text where in chapter 8 ends with him basically saying, take up your cross. Mm-hmm. You're going to suffer too. That's the pathway to glory. Then he has this glorious transfiguration. And then he finishes with, and don't forget what they're going to do to me. And we all know Jesus is the example for us. And so if they did it to him, they're going to do it to us. And so there's a hamburger there. And the hamburger is that suffering will come. It's part of our discipleship. It's part of what it means to follow Jesus is suffering. Mm. Doesn't mean we go looking for it. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we don't want to look for it. But there's going to be a day when we can't run from it either.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Okay, so what would you say right now? I mean, I don't know if it hits one of the points. What will be the best way or a good practical way for us to respond during times of suffering, or if we feel like we're suffering?
Right. I think the first thing to remember is that Jesus suffers with us, because over and over in Mark, he's conditioning his disciples. He's preparing them for the crucifixion. And of course, they don't understand, because that didn't fit their idea of a Messiah, a suffering Messiah. That those two words never went together in their mind, until they saw Jesus on the cross and then later realized, oh, and he rose from the dead. Oh, he's a suffering Messiah. So I think the first thing to remember when we suffer is we're not alone. Mm. That just as Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah and his disciples who did not understand, he's talking with you.
Mm.
He's speaking to you through your suffering. There are things he's trying to say to you that we need to listen to and hear. Over and over again, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I think sometimes we only want to hear what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so suffering is sometimes the way that God interrupts that monologue in our head and says, hey, we got to change the tune here. I got a new song I want you to listen to, and you may not like it at first, but listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because I've got a message for you, you know? So yeah, I think suffering is something that also we need to remember that for the Christian, there's always a lesson in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never just suffering for suffering's sake.
Yeah.
There's always a lesson. And then another thought that I've heard before from others too, is suffering is as close to hell as we'll ever get.
Mm.
As a Christian, because, you know, we have glory coming that is amazing. And so any suffering we experience here, however bad it can be, and it can get bad. I mean, I'm not trying to dismiss it. But any suffering here doesn't compare to the hell that we deserve.
Yeah.
And, or at least that I know I deserve. and so, that's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yes.
I mean, I'll take that one, you know?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I hope that helps somebody out there.
No, it's good. It's good. I think this hits the fourth point, if I remember correctly. because you were mentioning glory, and you, I think, I don't know if it's the fourth point or the third point, if I'm trying to remember, but you were talking about how suffering and glory is incompatible.
They're not incompatible.
Yeah,
right?
Not incompatible.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like they're two sides of the same coin. And I think the fact that Jesus puts them like this in the text, next, literally physically in the text next to each other, and makes this what I call a hamburger out of it in the text, is a way of him saying to us as believers, you got to change the way you look at suffering. It is not this, you want glory. We don't need to change the way we think about glory, but we need to be, I guess, more open-minded about what God wants to do in suffering, and that there is a glory in suffering. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I mentioned in this was talking about character development, and, you know, he wants to develop our character because he's investing in us, and he's not just trying to give us a ticket to eternity.
Yeah.
He wants the kingdom to come in my heart now. And that kingdom's a lot bigger than I am. So my heart's got to get stretched to receive it. My heart's got to get bigger to receive it.
Yeah.
And one of the ways, I mean, anytime you're stretched, it hurts. I mean, think about it, you know,
right?
Whether you're training for a marathon, you got to stretch your body to run, you know? And that hurts. But after you've done it and then you run that race, you feel good because you trained for it and you stretched and you embraced it and you received it.
Yeah.
And I think suffering is kind of God's training program for us to stay humble, stay dependent on him, and be able to receive more, I think, of the kingdom in and through us than we ever could before.
Amen to that. That's good. That's some good stuff.
And you kind of see that, Ralph. You kind of see that when, like, if you ever talk to somebody who survives, like, cancer, they'll tell you, after they survive cancer, they'll tell you, yeah, I can hear the birds like never before.
Yeah.
Or when I go to the grocery store and I see the flowers, I really stop and look at them. And the reason they say that is because their suffering of going through cancer and coming out on the other side, it deepened their character. And it made them more appreciative of life.
Yeah.
And that was the glory that came out of their suffering. And the real question is, could they have gotten to that appreciation without that suffering?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, that's maybe we're just wired where we kind of that's just the way things are on this side of heaven, is we kind of need it to expand us, to give us that character development, you know?
Yeah. And for me, that's like one of the biggest things that I pray for, is like to always continue to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And you know, suffering can God use, let me be careful how I put this, but when you go through suffering, God can use it, because he takes those bad things, those evil things, and he turns it around for his good. He can,
right?
You know,
right.
For those who love him are called according to his purpose. And so it's always, and so for me, my prayer is always to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, even when I feel like I'm going through a time of suffering.
Right. Right.
You know?
And I think one of the biggest things that I would encourage someone who's experiencing what they feel is real suffering for them is to pray and ask Jesus, what do you want me to learn from this? Teach me, help me. You know, I want to be a good disciple and a good learner. And that means I need to be flexible. I need to let go of control and my desire for control. Help me. What is it that you're trying to teach me through this? And I think that is one of the key things we need to pray. And what I love about this story is Peter, that's what Peter should have said. Peter should have said, Lord, we're pretty clueless right now. Could you explain what's going on?
Yeah.
But instead he kind of blurted out some nonsense. But I love how Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't kick him off the team.
Yeah.
And he doesn't kick us off either because he's faithful. You know, Jesus is so faithful to us. He loves us and he has committed himself to us eternally. And so we have that security. Yeah. And so I think one of the best things we can do is just say, okay, Lord, this really hurts. And to be honest with God, I feel like you're far away. I know from your word, you're not, but help me to learn. What is it that I need to learn from this? I remember years ago in college, I took a class on the Psalms with Walter Brueggemann, and he's a pretty amazing scholar, especially in the Old Testament, especially with the Psalms. And at the time, I didn't even know who he was. I just signed up for this class, and it was like a 3-week class that you took over like Christmas break, and you got like a couple credits for it. And he was the guest speaker, and it was just like a handful of us in this class around this long conference table. And looking back, I realized how much of a blessing that class was, because one of the things that he taught us in that class was he said, and I may get it a little bit off here, but he said like 1/3 of the Psalms are what you call laments, which mm-hmm. are like basically holy complaints to the Lord. Now they're not shaking a fist at God, but they're basically saying, God, I'm suffering. You promised to be with me. I believe you are, but I don't feel you and I don't mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah.
And where are you? Mm-hmm. But their prayers based on faith that he is there listening. They're not prayers of, oh, I'm going to be an atheist, so I guess I won't believe. They're not that kind of a prayer. They're basically, because I believe he's there, I'm being honest to God about my feelings. And so the professor was teaching us that, you know, one of the values of our faith is that we can be honest with God about our feelings. And so I think when suffering happens, not only should we ask God, what are you trying to teach me? But we should be honest with God about where we're at and put those feelings on the table.
Totally agree. I totally agree with that one. with that, I don't have a whole bunch else. I like to, you know, try to keep these things short and give people back their time.
I know. you can tell I'm a preacher. I just want to talk.
It's all good. So with that, I want to end by taking the time to pray.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind just to pray for those who may feel like they're going through suffering or are going through a time of suffering, and just, you know, how, you know, for God to come in his glory and his presence and just be with them during that time, but also to help them in how to respond during that time.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are the King of the universe, and that when we worship you, we are worshiping the real deal. We're worshiping the real God. We're worshiping the sovereign creator who made us all. We're worshiping the one who is truly in charge. We're worshiping the one before which every knee shall bow, and every name that is named will come underneath your name, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that means that depression, that means cancer, that means the coronavirus, that means loneliness, that means financial struggle, that means job loss, all those titles, all those names, all those things that we can fall under and feel like are black clouds over us that just keep raining down on us. Those names of problems all must bend the knee to you. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we want to bend our knee, the knee of who we are, the knee, the DNA of who we are in our souls to you, to say, we need you. We don't have all the answers. If we did, we wouldn't need you. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we confess that you are the answer for us. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are our way, our truth, our life. So right now I pray for the person who's struggling and suffering, that in their suffering, they would experience your presence and your glory like never before. I pray that you would transform their suffering into a time of sweet dependence upon you without distraction, a time where their faith goes deeper in you than ever before in any other capacity. And I pray, Jesus, that just as every suffering is limited by your power, you have said, I've set a limit on this. It will not go further than it's supposed to go. That means whatever suffering we go through is just for a season. I pray that when my friends and brothers and sisters get to the other side of this season, whether it be here or through the gates of glory on the other side, that we would all rejoice seeing how you used these terrible times of suffering to do amazing, beautiful things in us and through us that we never even thought possible. And I pray for those who are losing faith, who are struggling to believe. I thank you that you hold on to them when they can't. And I pray that they would rest in that you hold them when they can't hold themselves and they can't hold on to you. I pray that they would rest in knowing that the sovereign Jesus Christ, Lord of the universe, has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That means you won't let go of them, even if they feel like they can't hold on to you anymore. Thank you, Jesus, that your grip is eternal and that you have written their name, our names, in your book of life, and you do not erase it. So we give you praise and glory, and we trust you. Guide us through our suffering. Make us more like you. Make us a light to others who are living in darkness to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Shine your light through us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thanks for praying. Thanks for being
here. Thanks for having me. I'm really honored to be a part of it, and I appreciate all that you guys do and your podcast, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. So this is like a huge honor for me, and I can't thank you enough.
Appreciate it. Awesomeness.